gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio, brought to you by Co-Certified. It's the app for people who eat food. Check into it. I will be taking callers today. Today's a call-in day. There's all sorts to talk about. My goodness. President Trump is over in Europe, and he is saying that Germany's controlled by Russia. What's that all about? Yeah, I'm sure that Russia is forcing Germany. You have Vladimir Putin. He is forcing Germany to take in millions of Middle Easterners and Africans. Yeah, right. It's a stupid thing to say. Why does he do it? I would say he does it because he gets tired of being called a Russian puppet and all this Russiagate stuff, so he's throwing it out there. Maybe he's trying to seem kind of tough on Russia right now. He wants to seem tough on Russia because what's he going to be doing right after this NATO summit? He's going to go meet with Vladimir Putin. I still kind of think he and Vladimir Putin are going to have, some bro time. They're going to come out singing each other's praises. I hope so. Jeez. Yeah, there's that going on. I mean, I thought Trump was having a pretty good past month or so, certainly since North Korea. But, you know, that's not to say that he's not going to do and say stupid things, because that's part of his, that is part of his routine. What else do you have? You've got Theresa May, who is she on her last legs? Do we have any English people here? I know I have Mark Collette on Mondays, and we talked about this a little bit, but she's kind of hemorrhaging her cabinet ministers. She might be on the way out. We'll see. Is President Trump going to start throwing Starburst candies at her like he threw at Merkel? That would be fun. So all sorts of stuff going on. We have not really talked about the Supreme Court justice nominee and what to think of this person. I do know that Ann Coulter was happy about it, and apparently if you're just looking at the immigration issue, this person has a track record on immigration that would be one that I think most of us would probably approve of, at least relative to the others. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. We'll see what happens. You tend to have a knee-jerk reaction to these appointments. We will not let Justice so-and-so. We've got to shut it down. I know Bernie Sanders and New Jersey Senator, what's his name, who used to be black mayor of Newark, New Jersey. He's still black, but he's not mayor of Newark, New Jersey anymore. Cory Booker, that's the guy. And William from Montana is here to maybe help us sort through this Russia business. William, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Get your popcorn ready.
Couple days,
it's going to be very interesting. It's already interesting. I've been following this.
What do you make of this, him saying, today, I guess, most recently, he's been saying that Germany's controlled by Russia. And then before that, he's saying, we're spending all this money on NATO. And then the European countries are buying gas from Russia. And we're the schmucks paying for it. What do you make of all that? Why do you think he's bad-mouthing Russia all of a sudden?
Well, if you know anything about Trump, and you can find out about his, in his books, about his method, his tactics, the way he goes into, he's kind of a businessman, and he's definitely a showman, and he's not so much a great diplomat, but, who knows? I mean, we wanted the swamp cleared out. We wanted something else. That's why many people voted for Trump. And this is kind of a non-political way of going about things. I mean, he just comes out swinging like you would do in a, you know, no holds barred, you know, business negotiation. And, you know, so he had to set the stage. I mean, it's interesting not only what Trump is saying, but what other people in Europe, you know, getting ready for this are saying about, you know, making statements about, you know, Trump is coming here to basically diss everybody, you know. You know, Theresa May had another convenient poisoning. And she's jumping up and down by herself, pointing to Russia.
Yeah, does anybody believe her?
No, but no, it was great. Even members of her own, you know, party, when she called Parliament together to discuss this, you know, this next attack by the Russians, you know, on two, you know, drug addicts. You know, I can just see Putin while he's riding high on all the positive, the press that he's getting as a result of the World Cup, mm-hmm. that he decides to go and poison. His agents decide to go over and poison two drug addicts.
Yeah, random people.
Yeah, random people. And when May called, you know, when she announced this, you know, 1,000 decontamination and investigators descended upon this place, which is really interesting that it, too, is about, you know, within 12 miles of you know, England's super secret, you know, chemical warfare, biological and chemical warfare compound. But she said she had her police chief say, but there's no connection. You know, this has nothing to do with our chemical warfare, you know, laboratories. And when she called Parliament together to come and discuss this new attack on England, There was about 8 or 9 members there, even her own, and they were mostly from her party. But, I mean, the Parliament isn't even listening to her, you know, but she was reiterating. And then the big thing was Bozo Johnson, you know, he resigned, the Secretary of the Home Office. And, you know, and there were other members of her government that put in their resignations. And so, you know, one of the things that's probably going to happen is I don't think she's going to last the month. And, you know, Johnson, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that he's already making plans to make a bid to become the next, you know, Prime Minister of England. And so this is all happening in lieu of this. And, you know, and Theresa May was basically saying, never in our history has it been more evident that Europe and England must work together as partners. And, you know, this is completely crazy, seeing how she was supposed to be elected to ferret England through this Brexit process. But then, you know, when you go in and look at, you know, other, you know, the people at NATO, you know, had what came out and made a statement before he shows up, and they said they made a summit declaration, you know, in before he showed up, and they said Russia's aggressive actions, including the threat and use of force to attain political goals, challenge the alliance and are undermining Euro-Atlantic security and the rules-based international order. You know, they said that. But then in the next breath, they came back and they said, but, you know, we hope Trump doesn't use this Crimea thing as a means of cutting off contact and dialogue with Russia. You know, because we think that it's very important that through the NATO-Russian Council, the NRC, that we keep, you know, these avenues of discussion open. So it's just everyone is showing a type of disarray in light of, you know, Trump, you know, coming to their, you know, to the NATO meetings, and then, and they know that he's going, the next day or after it's over, if he doesn't leave early, he's going to meet with Putin. So, you know, I think part of this is, you know, Trump trying to pretend that, you know, he's rough or, you know, tough on Russia. You know, his big thing with Theresa May or with Merkel was like, you know, why are you giving Russians billions and billions if they're our enemy? Mm-hmm. You know, don't you see that, you know, you're basically sending money to the enemy and then demanding that we come there and protect you?
You know, if it winds up, I mean, if the result of that is, well, Russia's not really our enemy, so go ahead and buy their gas, but we're going to withdraw our troops, that's fine. And it's not as if it's impossible to get from here to there, but it's certainly not the most direct route.
And it's, you know, Theresa May or Merkel, you know, fired back that, you know, Germany is independent. We're not a vassal. You know, we're not under Russian control. You know, we're actually a guarantor of freedom around the world. And one of the things she said is that, you know, look, he says that we, you know, the United States is protecting us. What about we're actually helping the United States out? I mean, we're the country that's supplying the most soldiers and military firepower in Afghanistan is Germany. So they said, you know, we're helping you out too. It's not just a one-way street.
Some help we don't really need, frankly. We don't really want, because we shouldn't be there in the first place. But
right,
that's...
and I think one of, you know, this Sergei Kalishnikov, who is a deputy chair of the Federation Council Committee on Economic Policy in Russia, he said, well, you know, he's not totally upset by all of this, because he said it's pretty clear for anyone who, you know, understands what, you know, Trump's core statement is all about. It's really about, you know, commercial interest, American businesses. You know, the U.S. is trying to, you know, basically palm off its liquefied gas at a much higher rate. And in order for them to be successful, they have to find some way to cut this flow of gas. And the whole thing is, you know, he said, you know, nobody's going to listen to Trump when he says, you know, we got to stop this Nord Stream 2, you know, the big gas pipeline that will, I guess Germany gets like, you know, 30% of their gas, you know, from Russia,
Would imagine that they're getting a high amount. I don't know what the exact figure is, but they've been getting it for a long time.
I'm interested in energy
issues, but we've got all of this surplus gas with the fracking, and they do liquefy it, and they're sending it to port cities for export. But how do you know how much you know, say, tankers full of liquefied natural gas, to what extent can they logistically compete with a pipeline or with multiple pipelines?
Well, if you're willing to pay twice as much, you know, it's a good show. And you know Poland has, you know, stepped up to the plate and, you know, have said, well, we're on for it, you know. But, you know, Europe, and including another interesting thing is some of this Russian surplus liquefied gas is actually being sold into the United States.
Oh, really?
You know, I mean, it's sort of through a whole series of corporate entities that are subsidiaries of other subsidiaries. But I mean, and I always wondered, I haven't been able to track the extent of this down, but I always wondered, could America be so deceptive as to buy this Russian liquefied petroleum and then turn around and send it back to Europe at twice the price. I mean, that would be interesting. I even heard one business, in that industry, say that would be a good idea, because they can produce a lot cheaper than we have. The only country in Europe that's not on board, with this Nord Stream 2 is Denmark. And just about a week or so ago, they said this won't be a problem because even if they decide not to give us the necessary prints, we already have an alternative route that will still, this thing is going to go through. No matter what Trump says, Europe is going to actually get their gas from Russia, or at least a good part of it. So I think it's interesting to hear this sort of the two-facedness of NATO, because they're afraid that this whole thing is going to blow up, so they can't just be like play hard nose with Trump. They can't say, well, we're going to dig our heels in and we're going to tell him what he needs to do, because if there is a withdrawal of resources, they know that the European countries are not going to come up with the cash that would be withdrawn if the United States started backing away. So they have to play nice, and they have to say that what he's doing, they don't believe that this is a bad thing for him meeting with Putin. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's people in Congress, and of course Theresa May is yelling that we can't do any business with the enemy. But even, NATO says we've got to keep open lines to Russia. And there's also in many states in the EU, many countries in the EU, in their congresses and their parliaments, they've been coming out and they're saying, I've seen this in two or three places, especially in Italy, where they say, we need to have NATO protect the borders, the external borders of the EU, but not on the border with Russia, because mm-hmm. more and more people are coming out, countries are coming out and say, there isn't a threat. This isn't a big threat. There's more to be gained with working with Russia than not. This whole thing of the United States dictating to European countries who they can have as their leaders, mm-hmm. who they can do business with. I mean, you have to remember that the United States withdrew from that Iran deal, but none of the other signers did, and that was going to be a big win-win for both Iran and many businesses in Europe. And they did not take that withdrawal lightly, and they certainly didn't like the fact that Trump was threatening sanctions towards any company in any country that would continue to do business with Iran. I told you, yes, go ahead.
We might be going to break soon. I'm not hearing the music, though. Okay. And will you be able to hang on after the break? Okay, well, we're skipping the break. So never mind. But I did want to bring up, you mentioned how business-oriented Trump was. And, of course, right now you're talking about the Iran deal that he pulled out of. And I thought it was very interesting, I guess it was 3 years ago when he was running for president, 2015, he just started running, and he and Ted Cruz were called up to talk against the Iran deal in front of the Capitol at some Jewish-sponsored pro-Israel group. And his argument at the time, at least to the extent I saw it covered, was this deal is such a horrible deal. All of the European companies are going to make out like bandits, and our companies are getting nothing.
Sure.
And that was his original argument. And then, you know, throughout the campaign, he'd always talk about what a horrible deal it was, but never go into specifics. Anyway, hey,
I do believe that, you know, there are some people who have looked into this in great detail, and they said, you know, Trump is in, you know, he's feeling his oats, and he's got a breath of fresh air, you know, second breath, and but you know, he knows that he's, you know, he's in a difficult spot because there's still people in Congress and in the United States that say that even meeting with Putin is a sign of treason.
Yeah, yeah. People like Eric Sewall, who's a Democrat,
right.
But that crazy guy from California, the soy boy from California.
But even in his own party, you know, they say this is premature, at least, that we need to see some signs that Russia is going to admit to their aggressive propaganda and interference with elections and on and on and on before we should have even, you know, consented to this. And then they also said, you know, why didn't we drag Putin here? I mean, why are we going to Helsinki? You know, that's just next door. You know, the Finns and the Russians are in cahoots with each other. You know, so that's already a victory.
There's a history of summit meetings in Helsinki. Didn't Ford and Brezhnev meet there? And was one of the Reagan-Gorbachev meetings there?
Yes. And that was considered, you know, one of the reasons is that Finland is not a member of NATO.
Okay, right.
And that was a big, you know, that was a neutral place.
But it did join the EU, didn't it?
Yes.
It joined the EU, and is it it's a Euro country?
I think so, but it has made a very big, there was a treaty that was signed between Moscow and Finland back in, I think, the 40s or the 50s that said neither one would join in with coalitions that would attack the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they would run this sort of neutral stance, and that's still in effect. And many politicians in Finland said that's the best way to handle this. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to go the route that the Ukraine went, where they said, "Hey, we want in for the whole thing, and we're going to allow you to put missiles right on the border with Russia." Well, Finland shares a border with Russia,
and they have in there a very long. Yeah.
A very long one, and also one that has been down through history, a very contentious one. I mean, it's been when Sweden was more in control of, you know, Finland. I mean, there was major wars that were fought there, and in their
they fought in World War II.
Yes,
that's right.
And basically, their government, they have laws that say no military installations. We're not going to allow Finland to become a battlefield, you know, with this NATO, Euro-Atlantic, you know, coalitions. We're not going to allow them to ever use Finland as a battlefield. And so that's one of the expressions of the neutrality and why this was chosen. And, you know, there are people in the Finnish government that have really been pushing some of the same, you know, the same litany that, you know, Russia is planning to attack, but the Finns, you know, by poll, you know, don't really believe this. and they're not, they don't feel threatened by Russia. And I think, you know, as in contrast to some place like Estonia, you know, where they're, you know, making lots of noise that...
Yeah, which is right across that little Gulf of Finland, that little finger of the Baltic Sea. There, I think Tallinn is the capital of Estonia, and it's just a ferry ride from Helsinki, and they're very similar languages and people. But but you're saying that Estonia is what, a little bit paranoid of Russia, or what?
They're paranoid, but you when you try to figure out what is the source, well, of course, the source historically was the fact that Estonia was, you know, a part of the Soviet Union, was taken over. And the Russian, you know, they still remember the repression and the trying to wipe out the Estonian language and culture and make it Russia. So when the Soviet Union collapsed, there's a very powerful nationalist feeling in Estonia of saying,
this is kind of a little pet peeve of mine. I don't think the Soviet Union collapsed. We're used to saying that. I think it was dismembered, and then the collapse actually came after it was dismembered. I mean, the Russian economy collapsed, right?
We have talked about, and it's always good to go over this whole thing of, you know, how this came about. I mean, you know, part of the troubles that we have now is that in many circles in the United States and even in Europe, it was that we won the Cold War. You know, Reagan won the Cold War. And whenever you beat somebody, don't you get the spoils? And there was a big, after the dismemberment of the Soviet Union, I mean, Yeltsin was, you talk about, you know, interfering with elections. I mean, Yeltsin, you know, was basically put in there by, you know, Jewish oligarchs and Clinton.
Especially his re-election in 96 was
sure.
Talk about meddling. I just want one clarification. I don't think Reagan himself ever claimed to have won the Cold War. I always thought that he and Gorbachev ended it on kind of like, let's just end this thing. It wasn't so much a victory. And that the narrative that America won the Cold War started in the Bush administration. Do you think, is that accurate?
It definitely came from the likes of Wolfowitz and Pearl and a whole bunch of other neocons that were basically, you know, they outlined this in the New American Century, you know, that once we destroy Russia, then we need to step up and assume our rights as a unipolar, you know, last man standing.
We are going to break now, but can you hang on and maybe even take calls with me?
Sure.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. So, William, you know, there are, like, I guess CNN is talking about Trump quitting NATO, which would be fine with me. And you hear talk about, well, you remember after the Singapore summit with Kim Jong-un, he was saying how expensive the war games were and how he'd really like to bring our homes, our boys home from South Korea. And, of course, there are plenty of U.S. troops in Germany. There used to be a couple hundred thousand. I guess it's more like 35, 40,000 now. I'm not quite sure. But there's still plenty over there. Do you see anything happening like that? I mean, it's not as if he's going to quit NATO all of a sudden, but troop reductions or downgrading of NATO. Do you see anything like that?
Well, if you go back to, you know, when he was running for president, you know, he came out and said quite a few things about the ineffectual organization of NATO and the fact that it was expensive, and the fact that it just kept expanding. You know, we've talked about how, you know, NATO's, you know, has come out, you know, this year and said we need to be able to go anywhere in the world to protect Europe. You know, this means the Middle East. It means Afghanistan. It means, you know, Russia, because, you know, they're using these hybrid warfare methods, and so it's no longer troops lining up against troops, but there's this whole digital quality of the attack. And so, you know, Trump and people in his, you know, employ have said that this NATO just keeps growing. I mean, originally the agreement between Reagan and Gorbachev and you know, others, they said, you know, don't, you know, when we withdraw, when the Soviet Union takes a lenient attitude.
and allows
from Central European, Central European, Lithuania, Estonia,
East Germany,
and even Merkel brought that up. She said, you know, Trump is telling me that I'm a vassal or are under control of Russia. Well, I'll tell him I know what that means. You know, I've had an experience of that. So he's not, he's in no position to tell me, and I will tell you that we are independent. We're independent of Russia, and now we are independent of the United States. We're going to change our attitude about looking at the United States as, like the EU is a bunch of equal partners with this Atlantic, component, which is the United States principally. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start plotting a course that's independent of that.
Yeah.
And
but
so, yes.
But they're not independent of international Jewry, I would have to say.
Okay. I would say that is a component that is always there, and I thought it was interesting that Netanyahu just came out and said, if Iran would withdraw all of its troops from Syria, we could pressure the United States to lift sanctions.
Okay, gosh. Yeah, maybe they would stop supporting ISIS, too. Okay,
right.
You're going to hang on to take some calls with me?
Sure.
Okay, how about Jimmy from Arizona? Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I got a comment and a question. Patrick, I got to say that when William from Montana calls in or is a guest, it's probably the most entertaining that your shows get. His vast insight is riveting. But anyway, if you're at liberty to talk about it or not, but I was wondering what the details were about the Stormfront action. I didn't get to hear why they got pulled from the Rents Network. I didn't know if you could talk about it or not, but that was one of my other questions.
I mean, all I can do is repeat what was said on by Don Black over the past couple of days. So there were some threatening calls from, I guess, lawyers to the network, and I think Father Francis had gotten tired of being called white supremacist and all of this stuff, and I guess called out a reporter who was publishing stories about him. And I think on air he threatened to sue or something like that, and now they're threatening to sue. I really don't know, and I haven't talked to Father Francis directly. I've just gotten like a voicemail from him, and I certainly don't want to say anything incorrectly. But with the possibility of legal action in the air, he's going to step back from the broadcasting for a little while. That's
okay.
But not
thanks,
long.
Thanks for the info.
Yeah.
William, call in more often.
Goodbye. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Tony from Chicago. Tony, welcome to the show.
I wish you would stop saying that you have open phones with David Duke on your shows or his shows, because it's a total lie. There is no open phones with David Duke.
We almost never say it, and we did take a couple calls today. Huh?
Go ahead. Hang up on me now. Hang up. You going to hang up?
Are you the real Tony from Chicago or the imposter Tony?
Hey, I have to change my number to call you people. That's how sick it is. You people
okay,
claim
okay,
your free
you're the
speech.
Imposter. Okay. Talk to you later. That's really silly. We're having a nice. Okay, let's just go to Jeremy from Kentucky. And for the rest of our audience, that wasn't Tony from Chicago, who's actually a very interesting person. Okay, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Congratulations on your troll for the day. And I do agree with Arizona.
He's a two-timer because he called Stormfront today also.
Yeah, if he's listening, anytime my co-host RBN again, please call in. I'll take you on. But anyway, what I wanted to pose to you and William, and I do agree that I enjoy William calling in and guest hosting. So, we've compared the Soviet Union in the 80s to America. Where there's been some comparisons that were made. Stryker's done that as well as yourself, Dr. Slattery. And the political climate, just before the dismemberment of the Soviet Union is comparable to ours today. I wonder if we can make some more comparisons, and I wanted to pose this question. As I look at some websites here and some news headlines, Trump administration permits Eni to drill for oil off Alaska. It's Reuters. Congress votes to open Alaska refuge to oil drilling, The Hill, and U.S. clears path for oil companies to drill in parts of the Arctic. In the same way that Putin kind of pulled Russia back together and paid off their foreign debt with their petroleum, I wonder if maybe the U.S. wouldn't follow suit, since there's a lot of comparisons here between the two. And if so, how would this play out with the Jewish oligarchs in Russia and the Jewish oligarchs in the U.S. and this play for power that I've tried to outline? What do you guys think?
What do you think
that?
About that, William?
Well, it's thinking about while you were talking about that, I was thinking about this quote by Solzhenitsyn that's always. It always comes up, when we're talking about this, where they say, the Soviet Union, the Soviet Revolution of 1917 was, Solzhenitsyn said this was not, Russian. That this was, in a sense, like a foreign invasion. And he said... they usually just do the first part of the quote. They say, you must understand the leading Bolsheviks who took over Russia were not Russian. And then they stop there. But if you go on the rest of that quote by Solzhenitsyn, it said Russians were not Russians. They hated Russians. They hated Christians. Driven by ethnic hatred, they tortured and slaughtered millions of Russians without a shred of human remorse. The October Revolution was not what you call in America the Russian Revolution. It was an invasion and a conquest over the Russian people. More of my countrymen suffered horrific crimes at their blood-stained hands than any people or nation suffered in the entire of human history. It cannot be understood. It cannot be understated. Bolshevism was the greatest slaughter of all times. The fact that most of the world is ignorant of this reality is proof that the global media itself is in the hands of the perpetrators. That's the whole quote. And, basically, how do we know what's happening and why if we depend upon this dominated, lamestream, mainstream media that is dominated by the perpetrators? And so, they're always trying to put a spin on this. And, I want to tell you, Jeremy, you really have caused me to burn the midnight oil the last couple of weeks after our last conversation, because you raised some very important questions. And someday I would like to come on and answer some of those questions. And it's basically pertaining to a greater clarification of Dugin's.
Come on whenever you're ready.
Yeah, and also about how who is the Eurasianism, is Dugin in cahoots with international Jewry, or is he just dealing with this thing, this infection that is there in Russia and also everywhere? And, is this going to be a clean-cut process? No, we already know, we've all been recipients of this type of suppression and misinformation. And I think, you know, I have quite a bit to say about, you know, the details of Dugin's positions on a lot of things to answer the question that you have. And I also want to say, Jeremy, you know, the reason you inspired me to do this work is I believe your position is one of the best, your approach. We have to make this stuff personal, and that's what I like about your research. We have to make this research personal. We need to bring our concerns, our questions, our suspicions, and our fears to this research. This whole idea that there's this independent, objective research, you know, that's full of holes. So I applaud your method, and I believe that it's very important to question these things. And I find that it takes a little more digging to sort of understand, you know, what Dugin really did say, because everything that the way he's portrayed, well, who's portraying him as, you know, what he is? We get this if you actually look at the names of people who are writing about Dugin. You know, the usual suspects start appearing. And then we start saying, well, you know, he's bad, you know, just like Putin is bad. And then that sort of stops us from finding any type of association or approach of dialogue with them. And, you know, when he is demonized along with Putin, along with Russia, it shows that, you know, Dugin and Putin and Russia really present a perspective that is dangerous to this hegemony, you know, this Zionist hegemony that tries to keep us in check.
What do you think of that, Jeremy?
Well, thanks for your... I think it was a very detailed answer, and I appreciate you considering my questions. And I want to know the truth. Like I told, you know, Chris Hinckley the one day you and I both called in, I want to know the truth, and whatever that truth is what it is, you know, and I'll keep searching. And thanks for taking my call. And sometime, I do want to comment one more thing, Dr. Slattery, on yesterday's show, you know, on the nomination of Mr. Brett, the new SCOTUS, and how that the, you know, the evangelicals are a little leery of this guy's pro-life stance. And I got to tell you, man, those evangelicals, though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're almost as bad as those boomers.
Oh, those boomers! My goodness.
Yeah, and next time we have more time, I'll have to tell you my boomer joke. But if you guys have got more calls,
I look forward to it.
You can tell. Don't keep us hanging. Tell us a boomer joke.
Okay, you don't have any more callers because I'm afraid people are going to start calling.
I don't have no. There's no more callers right now. Nope, nobody's waiting. So let's hear it.
Okay, a boomer, a Jew, and an evangelical walk into a bar. The Jew immediately refinances the bar. He changes the entrance policy so that all of the low-income brown people can come in and start bar tabs. The boomer goes up to the bar and starts ordering expensive meals and outrageous drinks and enjoying the smutty entertainment proposed by the Jew that owns the bar. And the evangelical sits in the corner and preaches that everybody should be supportive of the Jew that runs the bar and give all their money to him if they want to please the Lord. So time goes on, the bar shuts down and goes broke because everybody can't pay their tabs. The boomer spends all of his children's money, he goes home and he dies alone because his children have no respect, and the evangelical is marginalized because he supports the very policies that corrupted the bar and shut it down to begin with. The Jew, however, just goes over to the next street and finances another bar and leaves it to his grandson, Yitzhak. That's the joke.
It sounds more like a parable than a joke.
Yeah, a parable. It's like, you know, Aesop.
Probably because I read the parables in the New Testament a lot, and maybe I'm parable-minded, I don't know. But thanks for entertaining my call, guys.
Yep. Hey, thank you, Jeremy.
I think that, you know, what I see is happening is things are getting shook up, at least. I think Trump's methodology certainly loosens up the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and it makes it interesting. I mean, nothing is more boring than a NATO, you know, summit meeting among, you know, they mostly just talk about, you know, what a nice new facility they have and, you know, how they need to expand into other centers. And I thought it was interesting that an official NATO statement was that, you know, we shouldn't use, you know, we hope that Trump won't use this Crimea as a stumbling block to dialogue
right.
with Russia.
I mean, okay, hang on. We'll be right back after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked.
Welcome back to the show, National Geek Radio, with Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. And William, so you were talking about some of these European countries saying don't use Crimea as a stumbling block for relations with Russia. And this is a NATO meeting, and NATO is fundamentally an anti-Russian military alliance. But the members of NATO are these various countries, and some of which, you think of Italy, even before their new government was, for having better economic relations with Russia. You think of Hungary and some of these other Eastern European countries that would tend to have, I mean, Hungary in particular would like better relations with Russia. So what do you think? Just continue with your train of thought.
Well, there's a lot of countries in Europe that are saying that business with Russia is something that they are wanting to encourage. I mean, Italy, France, Austria, Germany, the list is long, and many of these countries that are in the, Central European countries that were a part of the Soviet Union, they want to have trade relations because they're neighbors. They certainly don't want to end up being a battlefield. And now some of them that were really much, you know, very positive towards NATO, when they started having these huge military operations and maneuvers, people in the country are starting to say, we see the writing on the wall, and the writing on the wall is that we are going to be the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, we don't need this, we need protection, but we don't need provocation. We don't need someone stirring the pot and trying to get the Russians feeling that, you know, they always say, well, the Russians have really been responding, you know, by bringing their own military forces to bear. But, I mean, it's all within Russia. You know, right. This is not U.S. troops traveling all the way across the Atlantic to Poland and to Estonia.
Or Germany deploying troops in Poland.
Sure, and this is provocation, and it doesn't bode well for, I mean, the man in the street is saying this is not very good. And then, Jan Stoltenberg, a lot of things have changed even before Trump got there, because he came out and said, I hope Trump will keep the Russian gas pipeline project out of the NATO summit agenda. Mm-hmm. He said, there are different views on this Nord Stream pipeline. That's well known. But those are national positions. And that doesn't concern NATO. I mean, we're not here to dictate foreign policy. We're here to serve as a collective of, whose job is to protect the safety of the European, members. But we're not here to set national policy.
We only have a minute or so left, but I just want one last question. Do you think the leaders of the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, do they really think that they are threatened, that their sovereignty is threatened by Russia?
Well, it's like, do the people in the street think so? I don't think so. You know, do they have animosities and bad memories? Yes. But do they think that there is an existential threat? No. But the leaders, you know, this is big business, and a lot of people have pointed this out. I mean, if Estonia could steal away military bases from Germany, which some of their politicians say that, you know, it's ripe, they're ripe for the taking, that would mean a big economic boost. And so there is an economic component here that really drives a lot of this.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, William. And please call back again. I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.